Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff. Think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Hacking Love, deepening commitment through open relationships. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Anna. We're so glad you're here. We created this podcast to explore the transformative power of ethical non-monogamy and how it can deepen connections in modern relationships.
We've been through it all, divorce, heartbreak, and figuring out what real commitment looks like. Now, we're here to share our journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Whether you're experienced in open relationships or just curious, we want this to be a space where we can dive into real conversations about everything from swinging to polyamory and everything in between.
We'll talk candidly about jealousy, desire, emotional growth, and radical honesty. Basically, everything that comes up when you step outside the conventional rules of relationships.
And if you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us reach more people.
Absolutely. And we'd love to hear from you. Our contact info is in the show notes, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts or questions.
So let's dive in. It's time to hack love and discover what authentic connections look like.
Let's go.
Welcome back to Hacking Love, episode 35.
Hey guys, we're back.
This is our much talked about, much promised birth control pill episode that we have been promising for many episodes.
Yes.
And then we just haven't done it.
Yes.
Because we continue to have other experiences and things that are related to ethical non-monogamy that we end up talking about instead. But I feel like this one is super important because it might apply to a lot of people at a lot of different ages and stages of life. And this is, I want to say up front, not going to be an anti-birth control pill episode. I think birth control is so critical to women's lives, our ability to control when we conceive and how. And it's especially important right now when our choices are becoming more and more limited. But I do think women are not told all of the information about the effects of synthetic hormonal birth control on their bodies and how it affects our moods and our relationships and our underlying health. And so that's something I want to bring to you guys today and include my personal experience with being on it on and off for 20 years and how it affected me very profoundly.
And I was, when you first told me about this, it was so unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because we all just go through life thinking, oh, you take the pill and you don't get pregnant.
Right.
But it makes sense that the pill fakes your body out and makes you think you're pregnant. So therefore, your body always thinks it's pregnant. Therefore, it changes your hormonal makeup and many of the things that are very important in your life. So I've always felt this was an amazing topic when I first heard it from you.
Yeah.
And since looked the research and seen all the things that you've looked at and we've talked a lot about it. And then we start talking to people and we can see how it might be affecting their life.
I see it in my coaching practice all the time.
Of course, yes.
Especially when I analyze labs. There's definitely a pattern in lab analysis that I see with women and young girls when they're on synthetic hormonal birth control. It's every single time.
I think what's really fascinating is your experience. I mean, that's really what got me when you told me about how it affected you from before you ever took the pill to when you were taking it to when you were taking it consistently through your first relationship, through your marriage, the kinds of decisions you made in those, and then to the day that you decided not to take it anymore and what the changes were for you. So maybe take us through like your initial thoughts about it as a woman.
Yeah.
And what you were told, why you started taking it, and then what you experienced as you progressed through life.
So when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, I started my period when I was 13. This wasn't a time where giving birth control pill or synthetic hormonal birth control of any kind to children was very common. I didn't know any of my friends who were on it, and I didn't go on it myself until I was 25, and I was put on it for cystic acne. And at that point, I had had the same boyfriend since I was 16 years old, all through high school and college, and was in grad school when I finally went on the pill. And what I...
And you guys used protection that whole time?
Yes. So that's the other thing about the culture at the time, in the 80s especially. It was a very pro-condom culture because of AIDS. And so everyone was using condoms.
Yep.
And it was no big deal. Guys didn't complain about it. Women didn't complain about it. It was just a fact of life. I used them every single time. All my friends use them every single time. We had them available everywhere, and it was just part of life. And I understand that that's not really so much the case now, unfortunately. I mean, it's wonderful that we have drugs to treat AIDS and people are not dying anymore, but the downside is other STDs have gone up. But as far as pregnancy control, that is what we used religiously. And so I did not use and was never even offered birth control until I had cystic acne in my mid-20s. Looking back, I didn't put any of this together until my 40s when I finally went off the birth control pill. This is what happened, is that within a year of starting the birth control pill, I found that I was no longer attracted to my 10-year high school and college and grad school relationship, which is a very healthy relationship. We had a great sex life. And all of a sudden, he didn't smell the same. He didn't taste the same. And I didn't know why, but I wasn't attracted to him anymore. And we were at a point where he was wanting to get engaged.
Was it instant like that?
It was over the course of a year that it happened. And it does happen slowly. Your hormones slowly get taken over by the synthetic hormones. And essentially, all of your hormones are flatlined. It's what's been described to me as chemically induced menopause in young women, which is devastating.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing.
It is.
Giving menopause to women who are in their childbearing years.
Exactly.
With that pill.
And specifically, the most common pills that women are given are anti-androgenic pills, which are birth control pills that have a progestin, or the fake progesterone that's in there, which is a different molecule than real natural progesterone. And the side effects are completely different. That it takes away your testosterone. It takes your testosterone to zero or undetectable levels. So you can imagine how that would affect not only your libido and your mood, but also your muscle mass and your metabolism, because your muscle mass is your metabolism. And so
women... Explain that. What does that mean?
So muscle burns more calories than fat. It is more metabolically active. It's the most metabolically active tissue we have, right? So the more muscle you have on your body, the more healthy your metabolism is, the better you are at processing blood sugar, the less likely you are to become diabetic or pre-diabetic or overweight. So it's critical to have enough muscle on your body. And if you don't have enough testosterone in your body, no matter how much you work out, you're not going to put on muscle mass. And that can have devastating effects for women's health. And so I didn't know that this was because of the pill. The doctors were just saying... This was the late 90s. This is about the time that I feel like the birth control pill was just starting to be given out willy-nilly to everybody, to every single woman for, oh, you're depressed, you have irregular periods, your periods are too heavy, you just don't like having your period, here, just take the pill. And we'll just cover up the symptoms. And this is what I don't like as a functional medicine health coach, that this is not addressing the underlying cause. I had acne. What's the underlying cause of that? That's an inflammatory condition because I was eating a bunch of gluten and carbs and alcohol and dairy and sugar, and my hormones were messed up. I probably had a condition called PCOS, which can cause insulin resistance and actually high testosterone, which I had a very high libido before I went on the pill, which was really fun. But I also had acne, and I had also put on some weight, which can happen with PCOS. And I was not told by any doctor that the birth control pill had all of these other side effects, including nutrient deficiencies and mood changes and what I would come to learn later, changes to thyroid function, and even down to how you smell and your pheromones and who is attracted to you and who you are attracted to. So it literally changed.
Caused, mate selection.
Yes, it changes mate selection. It literally caused me to break up with, at the time, the love of my life, which ended up being great because now I've met the actual love of my life.
The second love of your life.
Yes, but I'm always grateful for that relationship because it set me up to know what love actually was.
You knew what it was.
I know, and I knew it when I saw it. But I didn't know this, so I was on the birth control pill, dating in grad school, and I was picking these men who were not very interested in sex, and I was not very involved with them, and it just wasn't very deep, and we weren't very connected, and it just seemed like my picker was broken. So if you think about this, you go on the birth control pill and you literally lose the ability to sniff out genetically compatible partners. So we are supposed to, when we're not on the birth control pill, in our natural state, when we're naturally cycling as young women, there's a phenomenon where both men and women are able to smell each other's pheromones. We don't know we're doing it, but we can sense who is genetically compatible with us. And what I mean by that is those who are genetically complementary to us, not the same, because that creates very genetically robust immune systems in our children. You're immune to these things. I'm immune to these things. We mate and we have children that are very strong and they're immune to all the things, right?
That's an evolutionary
thing. It's an evolutionary thing. When you put women on the birth control pill, they lose that ability to mate select that way. So they're really just left basically picking mates by resume and just guessing. And they don't know that that's happening. And so you may have difficulty finding someone you're sexually attracted to. That's sort of gone. Or if you're going on and off the pill, you may find, like I did, all of a sudden you're not attracted to who you're with. Or all of a sudden you are attracted to somebody else and you don't know this is happening. So this is affecting relationships, and doctors are not telling women this. There's a great book that I ended up reading in my 40s when I went off the pill called This Is Your Brain on Birth Control by Dr. Sarah E. Hill. And I recommend everybody go and listen to or read that book. By the time I finally, my health became so poor in my 40s when I was still on the birth control pill, and I didn't realize it was connected, but I eventually did. I was anemic. I was copper toxic because the pill causes you to retain too much copper, which causes you to be deficient in zinc. So my immune system was very compromised because I didn't have enough zinc. So I was getting sick every 6 weeks.
I remember you saying that you got sick a lot.
All the time. Yeah. Colds constantly. Too much copper blocks iron. So I was very anemic. And my hair, I lost half of my hair. I was extremely hypothyroid, which means my thyroid function was very low. My metabolism was very low. My body temperature was very low. And I was putting on weight, losing hair. I was exhausted all the time. The fatigue was terrible. And this happens when you take the birth control pill because the synthetic estrogen in it, this is not, again, not the same molecule that we make. Estradiol is the real natural estrogen that we make. And in the birth control pill, it's tweaked. It's literally a different molecule. It's called ethanol estradiol. And just aside on this, the birth control pill contains synthetic estrogen, different molecule our bodies make, and synthetic progesterone. It's called a progestin, different molecule our bodies make. If you look up both molecules, they are not the same as the ones that our bodies actually make, and they have different effects on the body. So the synthetic estrogen causes our bodies to retain way too much copper, and it also raises something called thyroid binding globulin, which slows down our thyroid function and slows down our ability to make free T3, which is the active thyroid hormone that fuels our metabolism and our brains and grows our hair and gives us a good mood and gives us regular menstrual cycles. And it is just devastating to have low thyroid function.
Imagine, and you tell me, 99% of the women that come to see you have low thyroid function. Is it primarily the birth control pill that causes that?
No, it's really rampant. And I know that people are self-selecting when they're coming to see me. They're already
broken by the conventional medical
system. They are already in an age and stage of life that they are more likely to be developing hypothyroidism. It's very common after childbirth. It's very common as we get older, our thyroid function falls. It's very common with poor diets, you know, gluten, cow's dairy can really glom up.
But the birth control pill contributes to it?
At 100% does, okay. Yes. Wow. So in almost every woman on the birth control pill, I see, even young girls, I see low thyroid function, which is really sad because childhood obesity is already a big problem. And low thyroid function directly causes weight gain in a lot of women and men. And so I was talking to my doctor and she was treating me for the low thyroid function. She was treating me for the copper toxicity. She had me taking prescription zinc, 500 milligrams a day to counteract the high copper, which is like three times what it should have been. And it wasn't working. I still wasn't absorbing the zinc. My copper was still sky high. She knew I was on the birth control pill. She didn't mention anything about birth control causing copper toxicity, but I, having a health coaching practice, and because I analyze labs for a living and I love research, I just started really digging into the research, and I found an article talking about the effects of the birth control pill and how it causes copper toxicity. And I told her, I said, look at this. And this is, I think it's the pill that's causing this. And she said, I can't even imagine that's the case. And this is a functional medicine MD from Harvard. And
still conventional though.
Well, she's functional, but she had gone back for functional training. She just didn't know. It's not even her fault. The amount of research on women is so poor. We're so under-researched that most of us at one point in our lives, especially after childbearing years, we have to become our own doctors, essentially. We shouldn't have to be, but we essentially do if we want good treatment. And so I found this study and I said, well, I'm going to stop the birth control pill and see. I mean, I was already in my 40s. At first I thought, oh, it's good I'm on the pill. Maybe this is kind of like hormone replacement in perimenopause. It's not. I will tell you that right now. The birth control pill is not a replacement for bioidentical hormone replacement in perimenopause and menopause. It is night and day.
So tell us about, so you're already at the doctor's office saying you're going to get off it. So let's go back to when you left the love of your life.
Yes.
And started dating men who weren't interested in sex, which was, I remember you described them and there was a pattern of that.
There was.
There were nice guys who just didn't want to fuck. And,
yes.
And your libido was waning because you were on the pill.
Yep.
So you didn't really mind that much.
No.
Then you marry a man who, if you'd had the ability to really understand the chemistry and you'd had the ability to experience the chemistry with him, may not have married that man.
You're absolutely correct. Yes.
So let's describe that and how you chose, what you chose, and then what happened through your marriage.
So when you read Dr. Sarah E. Hill's book, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control, this is one of the things she's trying to do in her book. And she's not saying birth control is bad. She's just saying women should be informed. She talks about studying for her PhD and being thrilled to be on the birth control pill because it lowered her libido a little bit, allowed her to focus on school and not on men and dating. And that was really helpful. But I think she chose her now ex-husband while she was on the pill. And she wishes someone had said, hey, maybe when you're actually looking for a mate, actively dating during those years, maybe late 20s, early 30s, those kind of years when people were starting to settle down, maybe that's a time to go off of it and try some sort of non-hormonal alternative so that your picker is reactivated and you pick someone that you really are compatible with in all the ways so that your relationship has a better chance of surviving. And so this is what I didn't know. So I was on the pill when I picked my now ex-husband, and our sex life was never very active. It just never was. I was on the pill for the vast majority of the 17 years we were together, except for when I was pregnant and breastfeeding. And I remember the two times after both children finished breastfeeding, there were a few months that I had where my own hormones came back and I wasn't on the pill again, where I remember feeling fantastic, amazing, and just had the greatest libido ever. I don't remember it making me more attracted to my husband, but I do remember having a couple of pretty intense crushes on some other dads during those times.
So your attentions moved elsewhere outside your marriage because the chemistry still wasn't there.
Correct.
Right. So you pick this man and the chemistry is not right. Primarily, you think, because of the pill.
Yeah.
And you come off it after nursing.
Right.
And chemistry is still not there.
Nope.
But you have chemistry with other people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't do anything about it.
Right.
And these poor men would have absolutely no idea I had crushes on them, by the way. It was sort of just me fantasizing and looking forward to seeing them at school drop off or something, which is just ridiculous. Just minor crush. But that I had my libido come back. But I still wasn't putting it together. And I went ahead and went back on the pill because it was easy. And he refused multiple times to get a vasectomy. And so I just thought, and I was not in a powerful position in that relationship. And so I just didn't think to push it. And so I didn't. So I just took the pill. And what happened after I had my second child, my daughter, was I can't remember why, but I said something to my OB-GYN at some point about, do I have to take these break pills? Do I have to have a period? And he said, no, you can just start a new pack every 3 weeks. You don't have to take the week break. And I said, okay, I'm going to do that. Because I just thought, I don't want to have a period. What I didn't realize was that that week without the fake hormones was the only thing keeping me halfway together. I'm sure if I looked at my labs from back then, they would have been still pretty jacked up with nutrient deficiencies, low thyroid, and all kinds of other things. I was extremely anemic when I had my son, even going into that pregnancy. But once I started taking it continuously so I wouldn't have a period, the wheels really went off the bus. And again, wow. I didn't realize it was because of the pill. And this is what happens with women, right? We're taking the pill when we're in our 20s or even teens now. It's starting so young that they're giving the birth control pill to these girls. And then we're into our 30s, we're having kids, so our hormones are messed up anyway. Then we're moms and we're exhausted. So we're blaming this all on what's going on at home. The kids, I'm not sleeping. My relationship is tough with my husband. We're all exhausted. I'm trying to work all day and take care of my kids.
Meanwhile, you're anemic.
Yes.
You've got this low thyroid. Your energy's low.
But I didn't know I was right. anemic. Like, no doctors are saying when you're in your 30s with young kids and you go to the doctor with complaints of fatigue and sleeplessness and hair loss, they're just like, you're just exhausted and stressed. You just need to manage your stress. You're just a young mom, da, da, da. Nobody is testing a full thyroid panel. Nobody's testing a full iron panel. No one is looking at a full metabolic panel. And I'm not talking comprehensive metabolic panel, which is not comprehensive, does not include a fasting insulin or inflammatory markers or even common nutrient deficiencies that are well known if you are on the pill. Nobody was helping me with this at all. By the time I got my thyroid tested finally, when I was in my early 40s, my TSH, which is the only thing they usually test, was like a 6, which is extremely high.
And that's testing your thyroid.
Yes. Yeah. And that's not even a good test for thyroid function. But it's, if it's high, you definitely have a problem. So I went off the birth control pill. And within, it took me about 3 months to ovulate again. I took my temperature every single day. So I would know when I ovulated. So I would know 2 weeks later, I would get a period. That's exactly what happens. Your temperature will raise when you ovulate by half a degree. And then 2 weeks later, you get your period. So I was able to predict that. And I felt like Dorothy when she came out in Oz, when it went from black and white to color. I wanted to get dressed again. I was excited for life again. I wanted to listen to music again. I hadn't listened to music in 20 years. I had just listened to podcasts and news. I wanted to dance. I wanted to get dressed. I wanted to wear makeup. I wanted to look cute. I had my swagger back. Like, I was actually looking at men when I went out, and I was not attracted to my husband in any way. And because I went off the pill was suppressing my testosterone to undetectable levels. I started to get some of that back. It was not much. And then I eventually have had to supplement, but it got me enough back that it actually made me able to stand up for myself in a very unequal, abusive relationship, in my opinion. It was just, I was so, I don't know, how would you describe me? So doormatted.
So all of the anecdotal reports you hear over the years that the birth control makes women docile.
It does.
You'd agree with that?
I would agree with that 100%. I mean, look, it takes your hormones to zero. You don't have any of your natural hormones.
You don't have any mojo.
And you have no mojo. So the amount that I was just putting up with, it flatlined my mood. And I was unable to feel joy. I just felt a general depression and anxiety all the time. And in fact, this is the pattern that I typically see. And this was actually the pattern with me, is that within a year or so of starting synthetic hormonal birth control, whether it's a Mirena IUD, or if it's a birth control pill, or if it's an implant or anything like that, that has synthetic hormones in it, that women are put on, they're going to the doctor for depression and anxiety, and they're put on an SSRI and or Xanax, because that is caused by the birth control pill, but they don't realize it.
IUDs have the same problem, some of them.
And they're worse, actually, for anxiety and depression. Really? Wow. Because they don't even have the fake estrogen that can help with mood. It's worse, actually, especially for younger women ages 15 to 19. I think I was going to look at this slide from Dr. Sarah E. Hill. It basically says that the increased risk of depression and anxiety in women on the Mirena IUD, for all women, it's about 40%. For young women ages 15 to 19, it's an increase of 220%.
Wow.
Okay. And then she goes through different fake progestins and their different rates of increase in anxiety and depression. And they all have very large increases.
And so the net-net there is the birth control pill and IUDs that use hormones have a very high probability of making you depressed.
And anxious, yes.
And anxious.
If our hormone receptors are being filled up with synthetic hormones, when our natural hormone production is shut down, that includes our natural production of progesterone. Because the way the pill works is by giving us just enough fake progestin to make us think we've already ovulated, because we make progesterone, the real natural progesterone, when we ovulate. Progesterone is also nature's Xanax and nature's Ambien. It helps us with sleep and it modulates our moods. It's huge. It also is critical for thyroid function and our metabolism.
And it's such a simple thing.
It's so simple.
Natural progesterone, and doctors don't often prescribe it, right?
Especially for young women, and they should. Some functional medicine providers are starting to. From the research that I've done, it seems like if you are a young woman, the most natural, synthetic hormone-free way to do birth control would be a non-hormonal IUD made of copper, which doesn't have an impact very much on copper in your body systemically. But it is 99.9% effective. I think it's the most effective at pregnancy prevention. That combined with a prescription for oral micronized progesterone, which is real natural progesterone, the last 12 days of your cycle every month, just to prevent PMS, to reduce heavy bleeding, and improve mood and sleep. That is a perfect recipe for healthy, safe birth control, but I don't know why it's not being used more often.
There's no money in it.
There's no money. Well, I don't know what it is. I guess there is a whole lot of money in giving the birth control, because then you have them coming back for antidepressants and Xanax, yeah, and right. Ambien, and now they need therapists, and now their gut function is ruined because the birth control pill makes your microbiome more obesogenic, then they're gaining weight, and now they need a weight loss program, and it's just nonstop.
So when you talk about functional medicine, looking at the root causes.
Yes.
The birth control pill sounds to me like a root cause of a lot of issues that later are treated with other things.
Exactly.
The symptoms, which are depression or anxiety or obesity or whatever gut things that they're going to give you more pills for.
Right.
So you're piling pill on top of pill. And I would bet a lot of women listening to this are going, holy shit.
Yeah.
This sounds like me.
I know.
I'm on the pill.
Or it sounds like my daughter.
Or my mother or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And they are probably freaking out a little bit. What would you say to women who are realizing this could be them? What would they do?
Well, what I would say, I mean, talk about root cause, is that the birth control pill is being handed out like candy as a Band-Aid for many things, from acne to mood swings to heavy periods. Yeah. Obviously, if you need it for birth control, that's a different situation. But again, there are some alternatives. And in functional medicine, we would say, well, why are you having cystic acne? Why are you having heavy periods? Again, if you're having heavy periods, that's often because in the beginning, when you start your period as a young woman or a young teenager, you're not ovulating every month. You're just gearing up. And to shut down a young woman's cycle at that young of an age can have all kinds of health impacts going forward in their lives. And so it's natural not to ovulate every month when you first get your period. That's what happens. Your body's gearing up for it, and eventually you do ovulate every month. But when you're not ovulating every month in the beginning, you're not making progesterone, and progesterone is what calms down heavy bleeding. And so in your younger years, you might remember having these long, painful periods and cramping because you're not ovulating every month, but you are still having a period every month. Those are called anovulatory cycles. They tend to be heavier and more painful. And that can be easily fixed by asking your doctor for a prescription for oral micronized progesterone, 100 milligrams a night, the 12 days before your period. My daughter has taken it in her teenage years very safely. I've taken it. And the great thing about when mother and daughter both take it, because in perimenopause, you're not ovulating every month either, and you get the heavy periods back again, mm-hmm. just like when you were a teenager. And with low progesterone comes moodiness and anxiety and depression. And what do we typically have in a household? We have a woman who's in perimenopause paired with a young teenager who is going through the exact same thing. And what happens in that household? A lot of screaming and yelling and fighting. My daughter and I have the best relationship ever because we are both on our progesterone.
that's the main reason, you think?
I also am an amazing daughter.
Yeah, right, obviously. Of course.
And I have an amazing daughter, yeah, so there's that.
It sounds like it. I mean, we all know the hormonal issues of teenage girls, and combining that with the perimenopausal or menopausal mother.
Yes.
Yeah. They're both going through major changes.
That's a recipe for disaster right there.
I've got three daughters, so I know.
I've looked it up. I mean, progesterone, real natural progesterone is being given to teenage girls for PMS. And I'm like, of course it is. It should be. That is treating the root cause of PMS. PMS is low progesterone, right? And so you want to take it just the 12 days before your period, because if you take progesterone before you ovulate, you could trick your body into thinking you've already ovulated, and we don't want to do that. We want you to actually ovulate on your own, and then a couple days later, start supplementary progesterone, because sometimes even when you ovulate, you don't make enough progesterone, and that happens in the early teenage years and in perimenopause. It's called insufficient luteal phase, where you don't have quite enough progesterone to prevent heavy bleeding. Your insufficient luteal phase in women who have miscarriages, right? They didn't make enough progesterone, progestation. That's what progesterone does. It helps us gestate the baby and hang on to a pregnancy. If we don't make enough progesterone, we won't hang on to a pregnancy.
So explain your routine then.
Okay.
So you're perimenopause?
Yes.
What'd you say? And amazing that you're still having periods. You can still predict them. It's mostly predictable.
Yeah.
You've got a really healthy system in that way.
Yeah.
I would say from my lay vantage point.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And so what would be ideal? Now, you're not prescribing. You're not
a
doctor.
No, I'm not a doctor. I'm a health coach.
We all know that. But in your experience with all these women you work with.
Yeah.
When they go from, I don't want to be on this pill anymore. I think I remember you talking about a woman who had a Mirena IUD, and you explained these things to her.
She was having severe mood issues to the point where I was very concerned for her mental health. And so I sat down with her in my office. She wanted it out already. And she called her OB-GYN and they said they didn't have an appointment for months. And she was in tears. And she's like, I cannot live this way. And I said, it's not you. The Mirena IUD is known to cause this. And I said, I can see you're really upset and in a bad state. I said, I don't know what your mental state is right now inside. Only you do. But I do know that if you call your OB-GYN back and you mention that you may be having suicidal ideation, that they will get you in today.
And that's happened.
Exactly what she did. And that's exactly what happened.
And she was having those thoughts.
And I didn't want to get too personal. I just wanted to make sure she was taken care of.
Right.
Because the highest risk of suicidality in women is our 40s. So it's like, I think it's 45 to 55 mm-hmm. during that perimenopausal change. And then she texted me a week later and she said she was a different woman. She Amazing. Had some chronic pain that had gone away. Her mood had lifted and she's been doing great ever since that I know. But other women, especially young women with the depression, anxiety and the copper toxicity, no one has ever even tested it. So when somebody comes to me and they're on the pill, I definitely check their copper and their zinc, their morning cortisol.
So what are you doing? How's it you're so healthy with this, with your knowledge of what it did before, what you do now? We'll talk about the ultimate birth control, which is for me.
Exactly.
I can talk about that for the guys.
That is so true. So it took me about a decade really to repair the damage. I went off the birth control pill. Well, not a decade. Maybe it took me 5 years to repair. I told my doctor, you know, she said the copper toxicity is not due to the pill. I said, I think it is. I'm going off. And within a month of stopping the birth control pill, we retested and my copper came down from 3,000 to 1,000, exactly where it should be. My zinc went up.
Your doctor learned from that?
She did. Yes, she did. Excellent. And I felt so much better. I got on heme iron on an empty stomach with vitamin C every other day. I was also taking Armour Thyroid and I was taking liothyronine, which is T3, the active form of thyroid hormone. These are two that 99% of doctors will not prescribe you. They will only give you the T4 inactive form. So get to a functional medicine provider if you want your thyroid actually treated and optimized. I was taking a lot of supplements to reverse the nutrient deficiencies that the pill causes, which I'll read those out to you guys so you guys can get those tested as well. You want to look at copper and zinc. The pill depletes B vitamins, B2, B6, B12, vitamin C, vitamin E, folate, magnesium, selenium, and I already said zinc. So as you can imagine, this is going to...
That's a severe impact to your health, losing massive. All these things.
Yeah. I mean, of course I lost half my hair.
Yeah. And I remember when we met, you were still not out of the hair loss phase and you were really worried about it, but you were excited because you knew what the problem was and you were addressing it.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So then I went off the pill and I immediately started bioidentical hormone replacement because I was in perimenopause. And I started with testosterone cream that I applied to the tops of my feet, away from my hair, lots of vasculature, well absorbed down there. And that helped so much. And I also started oral micronized progesterone at night, 100 milligrams. I take it daily. But I was not taking estrogen yet. My estrogen was still very high. That's very typical in perimenopause. Your estrogen will be high and fluctuating. I did start to get some occasional night sweats. And so my doctor prescribed me an estradiol patch and I put it on and I felt superhuman. It was amazing. But then I got too much because perimenopause, your estrogen goes to 600 and then it's 99 and you feel like a dried up desert. So I would on and off use the estradiol patches during my 40s. Now I use them regularly because I'm 52 and everything is getting lower and I'm getting closer to menopause. I assume, I don't know, we'll see.
But since you quit, your libido's on fire, and I can say that personally.
100%.
Great libido. You're not a desert down there, for sure.
Definitely not.
I mean, you've got, from my perspective, all the sexual markers of a 25-year-old woman.
Thanks, B.
And you look like one, too, and you act like one, so.
Oh, you're so sweet.
But I mean, it's just incredible how you describe that difference between before when you were on it.
Yeah, I was basically a menopausal woman during my 20s and 30s.
Now you're like a 20s and 30s woman in your menopause years.
I really feel like that's, I mean, look at us. That's half of the reason we're doing this podcast. I'm like reclaiming my adolescence that was lost.
Yes.
I mean, I felt dead inside. Absolutely dead inside for full, probably 15 years of my life.
And we see this with so many women. Just friends.
It's so awful.
You know, friends that we know in our cohort. It's just so common. These women are like, I'm just done. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Or they're just a lot of depression. There's a lot of issues with, like you say, the hair loss, the gaining weight, just all the typical things that you think is just getting old. But it's not.
It's not. Necessarily. It's not, but doctors will tell you that. There's so much medical gaslighting.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not okay. That's why I like functional medicine, because they know to ask why. And they know the underlying causes and they know how to treat it. It's not difficult. Bioidentical hormone replacement. We're just giving our bodies back what our bodies would normally make. Same with thyroid hormone replacement. Even with GLP-1 treatment for weight loss, we can have GLP-1 deficiencies. So there are so many ways to do perimenopause and menopause. Synthetic birth control is not a treatment for perimenopause and menopause. It is doing things to your body that you really don't know. I just highly recommend get a second opinion and do your research on this.
So guys, let's talk about how you can help your love get off the pill.
Yes.
And
if you're a guy listening.
If you're a guy listening, you don't want your love on the pill given these deficiencies, the mood changes. We all want a stable, happy, healthy woman,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So one
with a high libido.
With a high libido is the best part.
And who's in a good mood and who's well rested.
We all want that in our energetic partners. Yes.
Yes.
So I recommend, if you are done having children, go get a SNP.
Yes.
And I say this as someone who, I had mine after my third child.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I have that means you don't have to worry about birth control at all. You don't have to have an IUD. We don't have to do condoms. What a nice relief for both of us and really for you.
Yeah.
We don't have that worry. And a lot of men, and I know because a lot of my friends have done this, they hem and haw about it. Oh, they're going to snip down there. I don't want anything sharp near there. And it's almost a guy joke in their 40s and 50s that you got to go see Dr. Chop and all this stuff. But if you've been holding back and you're done with kids, just go do it. It is simple. It's an in-house operation.
Yeah, tell them how it was.
Yeah, so I went and I was terrified, right? Because there's going to be a knife near my balls.
Right.
And so just the idea of that over the years of building that up. But I was like, I don't want any more children. I'm happy with the ones I have. And went to see my doctor. They gave me a Valium to calm my nerves when I was in the waiting room.
Yeah.
I'm still nervous in the waiting room, even though I'm on 10 milligrams of Valium. So I took another one they gave me.
Wow.
And then I was hammered. So I went in there pretty loopy and made all the appropriate jokes. But, you know, it was a pretty simple operation. And I left and my ex-wife had to kind of carry me to the car because I was so loopy from the Valium. And then I got to go home and, you know, the whole joke about getting the sack of peas and sitting on them because it's cold. And I got 2 days of watching football out of that. You know, I had this great excuse for, oh, I just can't do anything, honey.
Can't possibly. Yeah.
But, you know, it was no big deal. And it's freed me from the very scary thought of having another child, an accidental pregnancy, and it's really freed you up from having to worry about it at all, too. Guys, there's no excuses. Don't be a baby. Just go do it. If you're done with kids, just go do it. It's no big deal. That's my best advice I can give.
Your partner will just love you for it.
Yep.
Yeah, and get them on real hormones and then go on and live well and prosper.
So, any other thoughts on this? Because I think we've shared a lot of technical information, right?
And, yeah.
And if you really want to go through it, you can pick the parts where Anna's talking about certain levels and numbers. But what's the basic advice you would give to women who are like, wait, I've been on this thing for 20 years.
Yeah.
She's right. I don't feel good. My hair is falling out. I don't have a libido. My hormones. This is the thing that really affected me because I'm a big proponent of hormones. I use testosterone. I use other things. And you use all the supplementation too. I think it's life juice to have your hormones. And totally. The fact that the pill flattens out, takes away your testosterone as a woman, that's where a lot of things happen. Your libido, your chutzpah, your mojo, all that comes from testosterone.
Muscle mass. Even bone density.
Bone density, which a lot of women have to worry about because as they get older, they're going to lose that. So hormones, very important. Taking those away with this synthetic approach to controlling your periods or controlling other things is not the best approach.
Hormones make us who we are. It literally changes our personalities when we're on the birth control pill. I was a different person on the pill. And I'm myself now. And when it comes to replacing my hormones, what's really cool about hormone replacement, if you're working with a good functional medicine doctor who realizes that it's an art and it should be personalized, they're going to work with you until you feel like yourself. And your combination of estradiol, testosterone, and progesterone that you need to make you feel like yourself is going to be totally different from your sister, your neighbor, from me. We all are going to have different optimal ranges for us. I mean, there's sort of an optimal range that functional medicine uses, but we're all a little different. And everybody's dose is going to be a little bit different. So it does take someone who is an expert in this area. And I think the functional medicine doctors are the absolute best at it. One thing I didn't say, we talked about nutrient deficiencies, we talked about the copper toxicity. So if you're listening, you're on the pill, and you're experiencing these symptoms, you want to go to your doctor and get the following labs done. You want to ask for serum copper, serum zinc. You need a full thyroid panel, which includes TSH, free T3, free T4, reverse T3, and both Hashimoto's antibodies, TPO and TG, both of them. Don't settle for anything less. You also need to get your AM cortisol tested because every single lab I have analyzed of anyone on the pill, their cortisol is sky high out of range. And you'll read about this in Dr. Hill's book, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control. Women's brains who are on birth control look like brains of patients with PTSD. So it affects
That's awful. Crazy.
It affects our ability to handle stress. We make lots of cortisol, but it doesn't go anywhere. It just stresses us out and makes us anxious. I get that. That's how I felt on the pill. I felt like everything was unmanageable. And I was off the pill and I started making my own hormones again. I felt so much calmer. Like, I was like, why did I think that was such a big deal? I was like afraid to play Jenga at a bar with friends in my 20s because I was afraid like I would be bad at it. Or there was just like dumb stuff that I was anxious about that I shouldn't have been, that I just afterwards, I just was so much more chill with real hormones. And I think that's the case for almost everyone. So get your AM cortisol tested. You're going to want to get all your metabolic markers tested, your complete blood count, your comprehensive metabolic panel. I want you to also get your fasting insulin because your metabolism is going to have changed. You're probably going to have some insulin resistance. And then get your hsCRP tested. It's a really important inflammatory marker that's probably going to be elevated. We're going to want to track that. And so those are really good labs to request from your doctor. So just rewind, put it on slow, write them all down, and write to your doctor in your patient portal and say, hey, the next time I'm due for labs, please add these to the list.
And don't let them refuse you.
Do not.
Very often they go, well, those are really expensive and those aren't really important. Just tell them to do it.
Tell them to do it. And if they want
to
do it,
they work for you.
Google BLT System Labs and you can order them yourself from there, cash pay.
And then you can talk to Anna about analyzing them, maybe.
Correct.
There's a little plug.
Yes.
But you are the best on earth for analyzing labs. You've done it for yourself and others for 17 plus years.
This is how I got into this, is I had to be my own doctor and I didn't find anybody who was going to help me optimize my health the way that I wanted to prevent Alzheimer's like my dad. And so, yeah, I figured it out myself. Even when I found a functional medicine doctor who was specialized in dementia prevention, she didn't know about the birth control pill and all.
That's the same one that wanted to put me on a statin. Yeah. Me to get on a low-dose statin. And I said no based on your recommendations. And I'm so glad I didn't because since then, I've read all the research, and I'm like, oh my God, that stuff's terrible. So that's a whole nother episode if we ever do one on statins.
Oh, goodness gracious. Guys,
short answer, if you're on statins, consider getting off. They're terrible for you. And if you don't believe me, do the research.
And look up what GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, Zepbound, and Mounjaro do for lipids. They actually heal the metabolism and insulin resistance from the inside out, which is the root cause of heart disease. And I have seen over and over again them normalize and optimize lipid panels. And
in mine included.
In yours included.
Because I'm on a microdose of GLP, and my labs are pristine where they weren't before.
Yes.
So, wow, we threw a lot at them today.
Yes, we did. And if you need access to those medications, I know access is quickly changing. Please email us at annaaden@gmx.com and I can hook you up, especially our listeners. I want everybody to be well taken care of.
Yes.
I can always point you in the right direction if you're having trouble, because I know sometimes it's really difficult. Again, we don't want unplanned pregnancies. That's super stressful. But when we're making medical decisions, it's all about informed consent, and we need to have all the information available to be able to make the decision that's right for us. My own daughter, she knows she's on the birth control pill right now, but she has said to me multiple times, when I'm ready to look for a partner to marry, I'm going off. I'm going to do something else because I don't want...
She knows.
She knows. Yeah, she doesn't want her picker broken when she picks a life partner. Yeah, I think in summary, the birth control pill has many physical impacts on your body, from nutrient deficiencies to thyroid function to immune function to metabolic function, but it also has significant mental health impacts as well, which will impact your relationships, your work, your brain health. When I was on the pill, I was on an SSRI and Adderall because my brain wasn't working and I was depressed. I wasn't on anything for anxiety, but it was just this polypharmacy situation going on where no one was making the connection or telling me that I wouldn't need to be on an antidepressant, very likely, and I did go off the antidepressant as soon as I was off the pill, and I wouldn't need to be on Adderall. My brain would work perfectly fine if I wasn't on the pill. And so
it's really unbelievable, like the difference between your quality of life before and after.
Huge.
And since.
Huge.
And so we're here to spread the word that this isn't medically necessary. Well, is there a medical reason to be on birth control?
I honestly can't think of one. When we have natural bioidentical, and I don't understand this. Look, I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to put this out there to the medical community, those who are listening with MDs. For the love of God, please tell me why we do not have bioidentical birth control. If we can put in a pill, fake estrogen and fake progesterone that are different molecules, so they kind of fit the same receptors and they stop ovulation, why don't we just put real estradiol and real progesterone in a pill, and that's birth control? But, and I think this is actually the reason, is it, and this, it comes down to this in the United States and our for-profit medical system, is that you cannot patent a natural substance like estradiol, progesterone, testosterone. So they can only profit if they can change the delivery system, like the bioidentical estradiol patch, right? And so, because they couldn't patent and profit from real natural estradiol and progesterone, they tweaked the molecule just a little bit so they could patent it. But the tweaked molecule has all these side effects that are negative for women.
And then they market it to the doctors.
Exactly.
As pharma does.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's a tragedy, really. And I wonder how much untold grief is being caused by this that is just unnecessary.
I also have a theory, and you guys, these are my crazy theories, and maybe we'll cut this out. The birth control pill, I think, came out the year I was born, 1973. We really didn't have a huge problem with food allergies in kids before then. And then we had a rising issue with food allergies after that. And I'm wondering, with the rapid rise in birth control pill use, which was great for women as far as achievement and being able to plan our families and educate ourselves and not have our college or grad school interrupted by an unplanned pregnancy, that's amazing that we had it for that. But it changed our mate selection, because when we are on the pill, we choose men with similar immune systems who look more genetically similar to us, which causes issues with health. And
so if they have a child, that child may be a product of those similar immune systems that aren't as strong.
Exactly.
Thereby opening them up further to allergies.
That's what I'm thinking.
Wow. It's a good theory.
I have researched this every once in a while. I'll throw it into AI or to Google and see. And then nobody's looking at this. No one's talking about this. Wow. But it just seems logical to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got married to someone I picked on the pill, and both my children have terrible asthma and allergies. Mm. You know, who knows? That's anecdotal evidence. I don't know. Maybe I can run a clinical trial. They probably will let
it's a good health conspiracy coach theory, I think. It's got some logic to it.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to hear if anybody who's been on the pill, if you look back, how did it affect your relationships?
Yes.
Did you notice?
That would be fascinating to know.
That it, when you went on or off of it, did it change your relationship? Who you were attracted to? Did a relationship end or start around the same time you started the birth control pill or ended it? I would love to hear that, because that is what the research shows. And again, that book I'm referring to, Dr. Sarah E. Hill, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control. Highly recommend. Amazing. Do you know how I found her book? I think I told you this. When I went off the pill, I felt so good that I Googled, feel 17 again off the pill, which I didn't know how else to. And I was like, how do I find information about what's going on in my body? I feel like a different person. I feel like myself again. Her book came up in that search, and I read her book, and I literally could have written her book. She even had a chapter on when she went off the pill, she started listening to music again.
Yeah,
and I was like, this is so random. Yeah. But it was so true. I was jamming out and car dancing to my 80s songs again. And I just had that swagger and mojo back that I just missed, where life was just alive and bright and vibrant.
Now you're a lot of it.
Oh, so much.
I'll be the first to tell you.
So much.
A lot of swagger.
So much. Oh, so fun. You guys, let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think, and reach out to Anna if you want more information about her practice. We're not here to pitch her practice. In fact, you're pretty busy, but really, we just care a lot about this. Health is very important to us. If you've listened to our previous podcast on optimizing your health and your labs and your hormones, this is a specific issue that we think could help a lot of people. So if this has helped you, if you have questions about it, send us an email, go to the Facebook group, go to Instagram, share it with us, please, because we really want to know this message is getting out there, that it's relevant. And hit us up for more information. Thanks, guys. This has been a good one. We'll go back to our normal stories next time.
Yeah, but after this, we're going to actually interview some friends.
Oh, yeah. We have some friends in the lifestyle who happen to be in town, and I really, really respect them and their opinions. They're poly. They have been for many years, and we've never had guests before. I think they're the perfect guests. They're going to be fascinating, very well-spoken, very smart people, very knowledgeable about love and open relationships.
They're very instrumental, actually, in our journey.
They are, actually.
He's the first one who told you anything about ethical non-monogamy.
Yes, his name is Michelle, and her name is Chloe. And Michelle was the first person I ever spoke with who was open, or who was admittedly open. And I asked him questions, and he answered them, and I was just blown away. It's like, what is that all about? Just like a lot of people who might be listening to our podcast for the first
time.
This
is back when you were married in a monogamous relationship.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, what do you do about jealousy?
Yeah,
like,
so we'll talk about that for sure. They'll be great guests. So we're going to see them next week, so we'll have a couple episodes coming up.
Yeah.
Please listen to that one. But also, reach out, and hopefully we'll see you on the other side.
And let us know if you want to come to Nicaragua.
Yep, Nicaragua's still open. Got one more spot.
All right, you guys. Have a great night. Bye.
Good night.